In the 1980s, a group of impressionable young men watched way too much television. Today, they survive as defenders of that forgotten era. If something or someone from the 80s is in jeopardy, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the Chain Gang.
Survivor Series. Tonight, King's Court will have to deal with these four men. They are the 4x4s that include the mechanical expertise of Bret the Hitman Hart.
Let me tell you something, Gene. This is going to be the 4x4's finest hour. Valentine, Bravo, the Macho King, and the Earthquake are going to find out the hard way what the 4x4s are all about.
All right, here's a man that brings experience to the party in the form of Rugged Roddy Garvin.
Well, the 4x4s are ready. Greg the Hammer Valentine, I got a personal score to settle, and I'm going to shut that big mouth of yours and stick this right into it.
All right, it's the power of the mighty Hercules.
You know, Mean Gene with the Hitman, Rugged Roddy Garvin, and this I don't foresee any problems tonight.
Yeah, Captain Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You can feel it, Mean Gene. You can feel it, and you can see it. This team right here is ready for anything. Savage, you and that King's Court are in for a long, long night. When the 4x4s come to the ring, we got one thing in mind, and that's to beat people up. Ready? Aim! Fire!
This sounds terrible. This is not getting off the ground here. All right.
Two time.
Okay. That's with the ladies.
In quick succession.
Is that a ladder? Hey, you behind the
bar. Hey, oh.
All right, welcome to OSW Review. What do we do again?
We review old wrestling. We chronicle the Hulkamania era pay-per-view by pay-per-view, and we're awesome at it.
All right, let's do it.
Awesome.
Maniacs, it's Thanksgiving night, and this is the happiest time of year for all the maniacs, brother. You know, me and all my little Hulksters, we got a lot of things to be thankful for. Number one, we're thankful for being happy and very healthy. We're thankful for having time to share with our loved ones. We're also thankful that Hulkamania is still the strongest force in the universe. And after the turkey's done, after the blessings are all done, I can tell you what the Hulkster's mostly happy about. It's Survivor Series time. And I'm thankful for my team of Hulkamaniacs.
I'm thankful because I'm rich and you're not.
I'm thankful for having Damien and the DDT.
You know what we're thankful for?
We don't have to fight each other.
Oh, yeah. I am thankful that I am the only man worthy of being the Macho King.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thankful for the privilege of living right here in the good old U.S. of A.
Tough guy.
I'm thankful I've got that big Earthquake on my side.
What I'm thankful for Thanksgiving? For my polka dot.
I'm thankful for the judges I serve.
I'm thankful for wrestling, cutting, and strutting.
I'm thankful for my good looks.
I'm thankful for having the most ravishing body in the WWF.
I'm thankful because I ate Ricky Rude.
I am thankful for being the world's smartest man.
I'm thankful for being absolutely perfect.
Yeah, we're thankful for having sunny stuffing and our turkey tonight!
I'm thankful for spending Thanksgiving with all the members of the Heenan family.
Thanksgiving every day, but especially this day, as the Warriors give me the intention to deliver the power at Survivor Series, it is going to be a war!
the WWF Survivor Series, the Thanksgiving Night Tradition, the ultimate in team competition, with Team Captain Ultimate Warrior and Andre the Giant join fellow members, the Anvil Jim Neidhart, along with Haku, as they join the Rockers and the Brain Busters. It's the Ultimate Warriors against the Heenan family. Team Captains Rowdy Roddy Piper and Ravishing Rick Rude join fellow members Superfly Jimmy Snuka and Mr. Perfect, along with the Bushwhackers and the Fabulous Rougeos. It's Roddy's Rowdies against Rude's Rude. Team Captains Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Macho King Randy Savage join fellow members Rugged Ronnie Garvin and Greg the Hammer Valentine, along with Bret Hart, along with Dino Bravo, Hercules, and the Earthquake. It's the 4x4s against the King's Court. Team Captain Dusty Rhodes and the Big Boss Man join fellow members Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Bad News Brown, along with the Red Rooster, Rick Martel, Vito Santana, the Honky Tonk Man. It's the Dream Team versus the Enforcers. Team Captains Hulk Hogan and Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase join fellow members Jake the Snake Roberts and Zeus, along with Demolition and the Powers of Pain. It's the Hulkamaniac versus the Million Dollar Team. It's the Survivor Series.
Survivor Series 1989. It's November 23rd, and it's from the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago, Illinois. Our commentators tonight are Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Pilgrim Ventura, with nice clean bum shave on, and they make a lot of Thanksgiving puns. Now tonight, we're joined with not only by your host Jay Hunter and Mr. OSC, but also Steve V1. How's it going, mate?
Not too bad. What's up, lads?
Actually, people won't know that we recorded this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to give a bit of background to the last time we attempted this podcast, Jay?
Oh, yeah. I thought me and Steve would be great because we wouldn't have to listen to this crap. But it turns out that it's not half as fun.
Yeah.
No, it was informative.
Yeah, but Steve has a lot to live up to because we're expecting great things, okay?
Yes, yes. Oh, just throw away casual racism. See you during the day. Alright, so we get an establishing shot montage and backstage video prep montage, and that's pretty awesome, and we go into a What I'm Thankful For montage. Alright, so Vince runs down the car.
No, he doesn't. He fucking screams the car in your ear holes. Like, I thought it was awesome. Only Vince can sound like this.
Yeah, he quite penetrated our ear holes. Alright, so we got the Enforcers. It's the Big Boss Man, using Slick's theme, with Bad News Brown, Rick the Model Martel, and the Honky Tonk Man, with managers Jimmy Hart and Slick, versus the Dream Team. We got Brutus Beefcake, Tito Santana tailgating him right up his arse, the Red Rooster, and Dusty Rhodes, baby. And I think we talk about who's the captain here, because Brutus uses the sleeper Dream Team, and Dusty Rhodes is the American Dream. So
I thought it was
sure
Dusty.
He's getting the big push with Hogan and Savage and Zeus and all that, so it must be
Brutus and Hogan main evented SummerSlam, and like somewhere between hanging and banging, here's your own team. You can't have a furry coat, but here's a team, you know. So you'll say the Giant Soul Bro, Slick's there, Big Boss Man's there, where's Akeem? Well, he no-showed the pay-per-view for some unknown reason and was replaced with Bad News Brown. Alright, so we start off with Chico Martel. And the announcers bring up that there's a bit of a Dusty Boss Man feud going on. Now, do you remember we were giving out why is Dusty stealing his gimmick?
Why is Boss Man not killing this fella for wearing his gear there?
Well, they were feuding, actually, because on July 22nd on Superstars, Dusty stopped Boss Man from battering up some jobber, and he stole his nightstick.
Okay.
It doesn't account for the hat. That's, he brought that.
I'm sure Boss Man was wearing hat anyway, so he just... random sex shop on the way to the team.
Alright, so, yeah, Boss Boob, he does the Jay Hunter special. He rakes the back. I was like, yeah, get in. Right there. Pretty much a back and forth match. Lots of quick tags and that. And the first elimination comes. Oh, I was like, just going through this. There's like 30 fucking eliminations. My job in this is to read out the results, basically, of this. So you get to chat about it. You get to chat about it. You get to fucking read the results.
Like, I guarantee you, he has the results, who pinned who, of every single match. Yes, he does.
Do you want to run down this paper?
I will run down this match if you want me to.
Yes. No, I need you to run down the next match.
Okay, yeah, fine.
Awesome. Fine. All right, so the first elimination comes when, oh yeah, Martel, he looks awesome, and he counters Chico's figure four and roll up with one of his own, and eliminates Tito.
When Tito and Ting were like both in the ring, kind of facing each other, it just became so obvious why Tito didn't go on to be a big star. He is just not on the same level.
He's as no Rick charisma
Martel at all. He's just bland, isn't he?
He needs a gimmick, which
he's also like a plain hack up. No,
it's like 93. What year did he the Matador gimmick?
It was actually
WrestleMania 9, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was earlier than that. He was like 92. He became the Matador, I think. Which was a great. That was one of the first gimmicks I remember, actually.
Really?
Like, as in, that was a real proper stupid gimmick.
Okay.
Not like.
Because when you first said it, I was like, that sounds like a good memory. That's wrong.
Oh man, just gotta gear up for well done, yeah. So there was a shot of Brown Sugar before she was officially managing Dusty.
Isn't that the prostitute that, what's his face?
Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner?
He shouldn't either.
Doesn't either.
Is it?
No, her name
Divine
was
Brown.
Divine Brown. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Close enough. Yeah.
Wait, her name is Sweet Samphire. What did I say?
Luscious Sugar? Brown Sugar?
Yeah, apparently. No one calls her Brown Sugar. That's just me and Greg.
Okay.
That's just your racism family coming out again.
Sarge Fingers and
Toadstool.
Which one was Toadstool?
Tully Blanchard. So I got an alliteration. Yeah, it must be just our family that call her Brown Sugar. But Sweet Sapphire it is.
Did you notice that Rooster did the flare flop twice in this match? Like, Valentine's delayed face flop.
Bad News Brown, he's not involved in the match, and he's not interested, and that's his gimmick, you know, he doesn't care about the match. Why would you pick him for a tag partner, then?
When he's clearly proven that he's no tag partner whatsoever. Yeah?
He's also proven that he's no aspiration to be a champion, because you can't win a belt by countout.
Well, that's your TNA.
Yeah.
Less of the TNA bashing. Anyway, non-kayfabe reason.
Oh, yes, please.
He's the only... probably the only wrestler that was left in the locker room, considering there's like 40 wrestlers on this pay-per-view. So that was pretty... Akeem who was not there.
Was this guy ever popular with fans, Bad News Brown?
Yeah, well, he worked up in Calgary with the Hearts and Brett loves him. So it's got a bit of clout. So the Bossman hits Bad News Brown by accident, just like last year, and Bad News Brown throws a strop. He leaves and gets counted out.
Now, this is about a 5 count he gets here, and then it's, you're out of here, which is...
Love wrestling. It's awesome.
This is the first 5 count of the evening. There'll be a few more, even lower, maybe three counts.
There was one that was ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll get to
that. Alright, so Brudai hits the high knee
on
the honky tonk man and gets the 3 in the heels corner, and they don't break it up. What lovely lads. So then we get a sunset flip from the Beaver to the model, who reverses it but gets caught cheating, which is awesome. And Beaver reverses it and gets the 3 and gets a big pop.
I thought it was a great spot. I thought it was really, really well done. The fans popped for it as well.
And no Aaron Anderson doing a jig either.
Yeah, but doing the greatest jig of the night.
Not even Irish either, yeah. A question. Why isn't the barber wearing red and white as a barber?
It's a really good question.
And could he not have some kind of suicide dive and call it Barbersoft? Why weren't we on the booking?
I know.
Maybe because he's not capable of doing a suicide dive.
About 6 at the time.
The I can only imagine if you as a kid at six, you're like, Hogan, what a cunt. Yeah, so the Big Boss Man gets a side slam on the Red Rooster 4-3, and now it's down to 2-on-1. So it's Beefer and Dusty versus the Boss Man. It's, yeah, the faces are up 2-1. So Dusty,
amazing psychology.
Dusty gets a running splash and gets the win. That's it. There's no drama, but we get the drama after the match where the Boss Man gets his handcuffs and he ties Dusty to the ropes, and he uses his baton and beats up Dusty, and so he gets his heat back. And then the Beefer comes in and sends the heels fleeing with his clippers. What do you guys think of the match?
I don't know. As an opening match, it should have been. We said it in the last time. It should have been something like the Rockers in there, something exciting. Dusty did get the crowd up and going, which is pretty cool. Hunky the same. Overall, typical punchy kicky.
I actually thought that this match was pretty good. I thought that Rick Martel looked really good, and you can really see him just getting better at every show. And I thought that this was Beefer's best showing since we've been doing OSW. I thought he pretty much kept this match going. He looked solid in ring for the first time ever. So, excellent. Although, get that pink and black off.
Get a jumper
it's,
on.
Is it more? Is it, was it not more purpley black, no? I have to say that, like, I know Dusty's great, but he's shit wrestler. Like,
yeah,
he can barely even run the ropes. Yeah. You know, it just goes to
can
show.
Can the ropes?
Just goes to show you don't need to be able to adequately perform any kind of wrestling move to get over. And you know, fair balls. One thing that I found interesting, Monsoon points out that the losing team comes out with less money, which I think should be pushed more.
I think that should
in
be
wrestling.
On every wrestling show.
Yeah,
the winner gets paid. It should be double what the loser gets paid.
Yeah,
like in MMA.
When there's no title on the line, give the wrestlers a reason to win a match.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Good point. Rooster, great for him. He was in the final two or final three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was the best thing he's ever going to do, probably, in a wrestling ring. I think, actually, since the last pay-per-view, he looks a little bit flabbier.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Was he being booted at this point?
Oh, he'll be gone before WrestleMania, I think. He's basically picking up a paycheck now, like.
Mm. Oh, he's going down the jobber route, all right, and looking like a jobber. But, yeah, not a great way of opening the card, in my opinion.
All right, so we get an immediate post-match shouty promo with the Boss Man and Slick. He says that Dusty has broke the law and he's a prisoner of the state now, and when his shirt is fully open, and holy God, he looked like he jumped in a pool. He is soaking, dripping wet. Imagine getting a big hug off him.
Oh God.
He says, oh yeah, this is just the beginning. No, it's not. That was the blow off.
Are you serious? I thought this promo was amazing. I love the kayfabe-ness that this man thinks he's a policeman and he's ridding the wrestling world of evildoers. That's fucking awesome, guys.
Jay, when does Nails come into it? Because Nails was fucking great.
When he gets off the jacks. I think it's 92.
92.
Okay, so Gene interviews the King's Court. What? Here we go, it's Earthquake. So, the 11th November on Superstars, Bravo and Warrior have a push-up contest, which is awesome. And they get some big fat bloke from the crowd, which is John, i.e. John Tenta, to sit on Bravo's back. And he actually does some push-ups. It's actually pretty cool.
That's very impressive, because he's a big man. He's a large man.
He's a man.
He's a large man.
And when it comes to Warrior, Earthquake just squashes him and they start beating up Warrior.
So. Really? So, like, Warrior actually had, like, his ego wasn't so big that he would let himself be kind of shown up like that.
Well, it was.
I bet you Hogan wouldn't have let something like that happen.
Earthquake, he replaces the Widowmaker, Cowboy Barry Windham. You love the double barrel gimmick names, don't you? who was out having surgery, or, if you believe the other dirt sheets, his bro and his dad were jailed on counterfeiting charges. Greg Valentine calls Earthquake Canadian Earthquake, and Sherry does a Macho Man impersonation, which is alright, but not great. Here we go, match number two. It's Team Rubbish versus Team Front Bump. So it's the King's Court. It's the Macho King, the Captain, maybe, and Greg Valentine, Dino Bravo, and Canadian Earthquake with Sherry and the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, and they take on the No Themes, otherwise known as the 4x4s. We got Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Bret Hitman Hart, Rubbish Ronnie Garbage, and your boy, God of War Hercules. Yeah, the Macho Man, he's the Macho King now in this promo, because even when he was at the Cauldron in the last pay-per-view, he wasn't the Macho King. So yes, it's 25th of September, it was Duggan versus Macho for the crown. Obviously Macho won with a loaded purse, and there was an amazing coronation promo with all the heels.
That's
as well.
Awesome.
The genius is there and the rest of them all. It's a great whole fight.
Behold this humble entourage. Their heads are bowed in reverence at the very slightest whisper of one name. Exalting in his splendor, which is altogether fitting of the people and the land from whence he came. False monarchies are commonplace as kingdoms rise and fall. But I, the genius full of glory and renown, say the Macho Man is everything that everybody everywhere would ever, ever want to wear a crown. I say this king deserves a queen beside him on the throne, and Sherry is the fairest in the land. Nobody else is worthy of this monumental honor and the regal splendor of his royal hand. We witness the dethroning of one Jim the Hacksaw Duggan, whose crown and robe are in a state of ravage. I now remove my mortar board and place it near my heart, and thus proclaim you Macho King Randy Savage.
The Macho King, King Randy Macho, Savage. Wow. And Queen Sherry, look at this. Look at that robe. And it says King on the back. I wonder if the King's gonna share a few words with us.
Wait a minute. The Million Dollar Man has a gift. A gift worthy only of a king. So to you, the newly crowned Macho King Randy Savage, I give you this gift a king should never be without. This golden scepter. Solid golden scepter.
Let's take a look at... Wow. Take a look at that, Jesse. I'm speechless, McMahon. I mean, admit the Million Dollar Man does truly have a heart of gold, doesn't he? How's a pocketbook of gold? I'm not so sure about the heart.
Did you see the interview beforehand with the 4x4s?
No, I didn't get this.
No, I didn't get it either.
Come on.
They were all standing there with the 2x4s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Duggan was, as far as I remember, doing most of the talking. And Bret looked, like, embarrassed. He did not want to be there. This is not the right thing for Bret the Hitman Hart to be doing, is to go and be going, oh, with a 2x4. It doesn't suit him whatsoever. I think he actually did a little promo, and he started with, you know, the classic Hogan, let me tell you something, Mean Gene, which is him basically, I've nothing to say, I'm just going to say what Hogan said five minutes ago.
Every wrestler kicks off his promo with that same line. Just one thing, I fucking did my head in. They're all carrying 2x4s, and they're called the 4x4s. That's a Jeep.
What should they be called?
Beep, beep, like.
They should be called the 8x4s or the 2x8s.
Wait, is it 2?
2x16s.
A 2x4, but surely the, like, the dimensions of it is not twice, like, the width and the height.
No, it's, that would be like a little block.
Yeah.
What is, oh, 2x4 is the,
it's
dimensions of the
depth, like,
of the act, not the shaft per se, but the girth.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, because, like, the 4x4s would be a square.
Amazing.
Why? What should they be called?
I was watching this, and I was just like, oh my god, I fucking have it. Faggot. The fuck is that? It's a bundle of sticks, dude. Thank you.
That's the first clap in OSW history.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Oh, well done,
that's
Steve.
Well done.
That's
very good. Yeah. So, Monsoon quips, if anyone can get him up, Hercules can.
Oh god, this podcast is just.
He's like the Greeks of old. You know the ones I'm talking about. There was amazing. They zoomed out on the camera, so I assume they fucked it up. But there is, like, there was supposed to be a 2x4, like, opposite Scotch and make. You know? And they just botched it really bad. And, like,
oh god.
Garbage was there, and as soon as they stopped, he just fucked it. It was great. So, do you want to run down this classic match, Steve?
Yeah, sure. Not a problem. Right, just first of all, I was like, man, Hercules, Jesus Christ, why is this guy even still here? And then, right away, he does a really good press slam, I think, followed into an atomic drop. So I was like, oh, okay, fair enough.
Was this on Valentine?
I don't know actually who it was on. It was just,
I think it was like the cartoon selling for Valentine. He was like,
he did some comical overselling in this guy. So then we hit onto, and it's Garvin who is wrestling Valentine, and he sticks on a sleeper hold, which is when Garvin starts to sell that he's going unconscious via jazz hands. I just, what the hell is this, you know? You know, clearly you should be waiting until you get your energy in 2 minutes.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Nice. I was just thinking at this point that this match is a lot kind of faster paced than the opener, and I honestly thought that this match was going to be over really quickly. And it was a lie. It was a lie. Earthquake tags in, hits his sit down whoopsie doodle, and eliminates Hercules. And we are 3 to the faces, 4 to the heels.
Oh, he was the balls right to the face. He got one in there.
I reckon I tap out if that's it.
There's a one count.
Will somebody tell Finley that you have to be the size of Earthquake to really pull this move off? Because when Earthquake does it, it looks great. When Finley does it, it looks like he's at a kid's party or something.
100%, yeah.
Right, so, the faces team up on Earthquake, but he kicks out eventually and tags in Dino Bravo. Valentine goes for a figure four, gets reversed. Yeah, Valentine kicks out of Garvin's pin. He tags out. The heels work over for Garvin for a good while.
Garvin does a, like, standing jumping headbutt. He's like, it's amazing.
I don't know how I missed this.
It's like, you know, we pressed forward on the D-pad twice. Like, there's no head movement or whatever. It's just straight, you know.
Awesome.
It's as if there was, like, I don't know, there's a biscuit on top of a wall and, like, you can't use your hand. You need to bob for it, basically.
A biscuit on a wall.
What?
Awesome. I was going to say it, but I'm going to say it now. Soggy biscuit on a wall, you dirty little shit.
Radio. So Macho tags in, works over Garvin for a while. There's more tags, and we eventually go back to Garvin against the Hammer. They have a pretty good like a battle of chops against each other.
Vicious chops.
Yeah, it looks really harsh. But then Duggan tags in and pins Valentine like a really great face always does. Fuck you, Duggan. Where's rubbish garbage getting the pin? He's awesome. So then Bravo runs in and Pearl Harbor's Duggan and then tags in Macho. They have a little bit of a schmoz. And then we get the spot of the night, the Garvin Stomp.
Yeah, it's great.
It is. It's great. It is great. Like, I always hated Randy Orton's stomp. And, you know, they bring up it was Garvin's, you know, that he was just taking from him. And I was like, But, I don't know, just how he does it, he makes it look realistic, you know what I mean?
We've commented before, and what I like about it is, you know, he does a kick and he just stands there for a couple of seconds, does the next one, so he gives the crowd a chance to take it in.
Yeah.
Whereas Orton's just looks like he's just kicking the guy. Whereas Garvin looks like he's fucking stomping the shit out of him.
And he involves the crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the camera work for it as well. Like the last, you were saying the...
Yeah, the Nazi... Schindler's List kick to the head, like. You have to splice this in.
Can you just explain it? Because I want to splice it in.
I'm not... Okay, the Nazis weren't kicking the Jews in the head.
Wait, start this analogy from the start.
In the concentration camp... All right, okay, Garvin Stomp. WrestleMania 5. He did a stomp... Frenchie Martin, wasn't it? Did a stomp on that guy's face. Big close-up shot, and it looked like he kind of made a dent in his skull. So what that got me thinking about was the bit in Schindler's List. I think it was the ghetto where one of the guys was, you know, being bold or whatever, and then the Nazi took a big rifle and just pummels in his skull. Splice.
Amazing. Brilliant. Bravo eventually pins Ronnie Garvin with his sidewalk slam. Insert sad face. to put the heels ahead again, 3-2. So then, really, really big crowd pop for Macho and Brett kind of.
I thought you were going to say Garvin there.
The seagull's out again.
Yeah, crowd-wise, it was... Macho was in the ring, and finally, Brett gets off the apron.
And yeah, and just the crowd were, like, just really kind of perked up, and...
Jesse Ventura marks out to the potential of this match.
And there was an absolutely horrible-looking roll-up by Brett on Macho that he totally made the balls of, and he looked a bit mortified afterwards. So we have a really long Bravo bear hug spot that goes on for a fucking millennia. And then and it was actually around this point that I felt that the match got really sloppy. It was just like nowhere near as good as the kind of opening 5 or 10 minutes, even though Brett and Macho were, you know, in the match. Like, anyway, they wrestle on, and eventually Macho Man eliminates Brett after the big elbow to have the heels up 3-1.
And Ventura says, "Nobody, and I mean nobody, is getting up from the elbow drop." So has it been modified since like WrestleMania or SummerSlam? Because I seem to remember Hogan not having too many problems with it. Fuck it.
And then there's an absolutely massive pop for Duggan fending off all three heels, and when he chases them out of the ring, just the fans are 100% behind Duggan. He's so over. You know? Yeah. Duggan never move up the card even remotely near top, or was he even?
I think he won the 88 Rumble.
Yeah, the first Rumble. Yeah,
he won the first one that wasn't on TV.
But no, he never got a belt until he found it in the trash in WCW.
Oh yeah,
and he found the US title in the trash.
Yeah, he was a janitor in WCW.
Did someone do that in TNA? Eric Young found a belt.
Yeah, it was the old world title. Yeah.
Disgusting. That's when Jeff Hardy brought out his one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Disgraceful. Oh, absolutely my God. Disgraceful.
That's like the worst booking mistake ever, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
I
know. Having some fucking clown going around wearing your world title.
I can't defend that.
Like Jay Hunter or something.
Yes!
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 Speaking of Jay Hunter, speaking of Duggan, he in fact
I know you confused the two.
if my memory serves me, in 93.
Spoiler alert!
He had a world title match against Yokozuna, I believe.
He has kind of the Santino gimmick where he gets the crowd up, but yeah. He's kind of also a bit of an idiot, so he loses all the time. But, you know, his stock never goes down.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Anyway, this match is mercifully ended when Duggan gets counted out after Sherry pulls the ropes and Earthquake attacks him. And then Duggan attacks the heels with his 2x4 and chases them away.
We just said Duggan's a fucking jobber that doesn't get affected by losses. He's Santino and he can't do the job.
Yep. Welcome to the 80s, Jay.
Did he...
Just fuck you. Fuck you, Duggan. That's Hogan bullshit right there. Yeah, count out is what heels do, not for jobber faces.
I enjoyed this match. I don't know, you're ragging really? On it a bit, are you?
I thought that like the first half was really good, and maybe it's because I'm such a Garvin Mark. Whenever he went out of it, I thought you lost interest. In the pot. Get out.
I thought Brett worked his arse off the whole match. Thought he was great. I loved Earthquake, first time he's been in it. He eventually kind of looks like an apple. And in this pay-per-view, kind of looks like a pear. Did you notice that? His weight just kind of moves up a bit.
Insert various pictures of Mr. Men.
Like a toffee apple with a little stick in it. Put two sticks in it.
Mean Gene gets over Dusty's injuries from the Big Boss Man earlier. Sean Mooney with the $1 million team.
I thought this promo was fucking amazing. It was just four men in the background, right? Lots of like slow-mo fist clenching, like shoulder widening, and like tilting back with their head. Like, I thought it was just amazing. Powers of Pain were great, and Zeus like giving it all of this in the background. I just thought it was great. All the same.
What an imposing team that is.
Yeah, I poo my pants if I saw these men.
The genius reads a poem. It's awesome. Let's take a listen. Did you enjoy it?
I did. It awesome. Was great.
It wasn't as good as his SummerSlam one.
No, it wasn't as good as SummerSlam
one. That's true. Alright, then let's not take a listen. Alright. So, it's the $1 million team. We got the $1 million man with no fiend still. And the Powers of Pain, Barbarian and Warlord. And a human wrecking machine impervious to pain, Zeus, versus the Hulkamaniacs. So Jake Roberts comes out. Then Demolition, what the fuck, they're champions?
Yeah.
What the shit is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, what the fuck, wasn't it? It was the Brain Busters last show,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, shit.
And go on, Jay, tell us.
Oh, yeah, let's go into it. Yeah, Demolition, they regained their tag titles from the Brain Busters on Superstars, a great show, November 4th. Well, they did. Zeus, he's still here despite having jobbed to a purse at some point. December 27th.
What's that date again?
December 27th. He's here to promote No Holds Barred, the film on pay-per-view. And why aren't you teaming with Savage, mate? Who knows?
I can understand non-kayfabe as in trying to spread the stars out over the pay-per-view, but was there any kayfabe reason?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, Okay, it wasn't Zeus with Macho. Why isn't it Demolition versus the Brainbusters then? Why aren't the Brainbusters in this
Yeah,
match?
Could you swap them out quite easily?
Yeah. Just put Powers of Pain in the main event.
Yeah.
Nope. Alright. Yeah. Because the last, they actually did it on purpose where Brett and Anvil are on separate teams. But they did that on purpose because they thought, man, Brett's going to be a fucking star. Let's see how he does on his own. Relatively successful, you know.
Yep.
But, they put them back together. It's like, not quite just yet.
Yeah.
After that promo he just did.
Yeah, that's probably something to do with it.
With the 12-inch python.
My bumbleless sticks.
Yes, there is amazing. The heels won't let the faces in the ring, and then Jake grabs a sack and throws Damien in, and the heels scarper.
That was great stuff.
That is fucking awesome.
Did Demolition always wear those chaps?
No, they've always had them.
Have they?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The champs, yeah, the Shawn Michaels.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring
that. Hogan spits at Zeus. Fuck is this? Aren't you the biggest babyface of all time?
I missed this completely.
They're like, oh, let's hold him back, brother. Is he Chinese?
Or me? Yes. I'm totally with Jay on this shit, man. Your top face should never be spitting at people. Wasn't that Orton's gimmick for a while? He used to go around and spit on old people, you know, when he was...
Oh, yeah.
But he was a heel, yeah. So that was fine.
Yeah,
he was
a heel. That was great. Yeah. But like, imagine if, like, John Cena went around and started spitting at children.
That'd be fucking amazing.
Did you get a good look at the fucking amazing unibrow that Zeus had?
Is it bigger than last pay-per-view?
I think so. It's just, maybe not bigger, it was definitely more sculpted. It was, you know,
he was manscaped.
Yes. To draw your attention, look at my middle brow.
Yeah, Zeus wants Hogan. The crowd go ballistic. And Zeus no sells. It's awesome. So we get it. Yeah, right to the eyes. Then Hogan slams him. And Zeus pops right back up.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
It was great. Gorilla Monsoon asks possibly the stupidest question I've ever heard on a wrestling show. He was like, Jesse, why does Zeus have a big Z on the side of his head? And he's just like, because his name is Zeus. You idiot.
Can I actually at this point talk about how Monsoon is really ramping up the use of the word kisser and breadbasket? It's literally every second sentence.
Like, what kind of cliches does he throw out like?
Well, he's hits him in the kisser and then he hits him in the breadbasket. What is a breadbasket?
Just stomach, right?
Yeah, okay, but why not a meat basket? Why a breadbasket?
Maybe it's just like a really old name and, like, you know.
A meat basket might be a vagina, though.
Not gonna top that, that's it.
Zeus does his mercenaries hunk neck snap spot. That was easy to say. If you ever play Resident Evil 4, players?
Mercenaries!
Hunk. So he goes round the back of them, out the back door, and then snaps their neck. Like
it looks awesome.
Alright, Alan.
Really, that's good.
He keeps choking Hogan. It's awesome, and then Earl just DQs him. So yeah, there's an awesome oversell by the ref with the. Rose Ed can see it, no problem. And I thought, yeah, very good and very safe use of Zeus. Look at that.
Well,
he's so limited, but he's amazing at what he can do.
He's booked to perfection. Yeah. He batters Hogan. No harm done. Out he goes. Yeah. I take umbrage with the snap of the neck. I really do. I think that's far too graphic and violent. No?
What if Hogan, like, turns his head and does all the work himself?
No. What I mean is the idea of trying to murder somebody in the ring.
Oh, right, yeah.
You're happy? You're pretty happy with it?
No, I'm fine with that. As long as the bell rings first. Then it's Vince's fault. Yeah, so it's great to see Million Dollar Man fighting Hogan again, because he's been Johnny Jobber for the last while.
Yeah.
Axe and smash? With the axe handle smash? In tandem. Awesome. And then Fuji and Warlord trip up Axe, and he gets eliminated.
by a bump. This is probably the worst spot of the whole show for me. I just, like, isn't he one of your tag champions? Isn't he, in kayfabe terms, meant to be on par with the world champion? Just, you know, just two of them.
Yeah.
And you lose a match because you fall.
But in Survivor Series, anything goes. Anyone can be pinned with any move.
Knee to the back, elbow, drop, at
least they're an offensive move to someone. He fell.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he tripped up on a soft canvas.
I'm pretty sure women's matches today end in a fall as well.
Yokozuna lost the world title on a fall.
Spoiler! At least was off Brett's rope, though.
The most dangerous.
If he fell off the top rope, he'd get it one. Second rope, out for the count. Oh, there's an amazing spot. Smash has Barbarian's foot, and so he's always hopping on the one foot, and he's like, what are you doing? So Smash just goes, and he takes a bump on his back, which is awesome.
And he's fine, eliminated.
What a tough guy. He was quick enough to actually miss the follow-up elbow drop and everything.
Yeah, true.
Really, really good heat for Roberts, you know, like a lot of DDT chants and stuff like that. So this guy's still over, and you were saying that he was just out for a couple of months, so
yeah,
is this his first show back?
Yeah.
Also, like, the fans must have really missed him, like, something really off for him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think he was a bit heelish, actually, just with his moveset? Because he was doing a bit of choking and, like, breaking up falls and that, you know? Yeah, so there's an awesome spot where you get a blind tag to Barbarian and Smash Hangman's DiBiase, and Barbarian goes on the top rope, and I should have done it on the second rope, but it worked anyway. Gets on the top rope, gets a clothesline, and gets the three. So it's 2-on-3, it's Hogan and Jake Roberts versus the Powers of Pain and the Million Dollar Man.
And your tag team champions were just eliminated in the space of about a minute. One via no move, one via a clothesline.
What's going to happen with Powers of Pain is a lot worse.
That's very true. So we get a spike pile driver by Powers of Pain to Hogan. But what the fuck? Bullshit, bullshit, fuck you, fuck Hogan.
It's over! Spike pile driver nails the champ! What? I can't believe it. He's saving Hogan again? Not once. No. Twice Hogan's going to get saved in this match.
Referee may have just disqualified both members of the Powers of Pain.
Powers of Pain get DQ'd. Not one of them, fucking both of them. How dare you take advantage of Sir Sweet Hulk Hogan? Oh my god, Ventura goes bananas with
yes,
this.
Yes.
Yeah. Did they ever, like, tell us why they got DQ'd? Like, what was the ruling behind it? Like, what specific rule they broke?
Like maybe one of them didn't break the 5 count.
Okay, then he should have been DQ'd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Next point.
We got nothing.
There we go. Solved in a second.
So well done, Hogan. Well done. So Roberts, yeah, I did think he was wrestling like a heel, breaking up a submission, and you get like repeatedly kneeing Million Dollar Man's shoulder, neck kind of area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Virgil hits the ring and distracts Jake, and he takes a DDT for his troubles. But Million Dollar Man hits a falling punch, yeah.
I heard you talk about this last month.
No, you didn't.
He always does this move. Even the son does it. I think it looks great. There was one amazing spot in this match that's about 10 years or more ahead of its time. There was a great sleeper spot, which then DiBiase turned into a head and arm choke, which is the same move that Brock Lesnar used to beat Shane Carwin to retain his belt. And this is in 1989. MMA isn't even a sport yet. I was absolutely blown away by this spot.
Was it possibly an amateur wrestling move?
It's sometimes used in amateur wrestling to get out from half guard, which is when someone has one of your legs trapped. You put pressure on the neck and it forces them to move and you get more space. But as a submission move, no, because there are no subs in wrestling. I was blown away. Absolutely awesome spot. Which then Roberts bridged out of to relieve the pressure on his neck. And, like, this is all spot on. Like, this is amazing shit. Like,
I think in wrestling, kayfabe obviously, there are two types of submission. There's one where it's like, you have to submit or say, look, win an armbar, I'll break your elbow.
Yeah.
You'll be out if you don't. And there's other ones like the Walls of Jericho where it's like, oh, I'm putting pressure on your
so
back.
Much pain that yeah. you can't take it, yeah.
So one's mm-hmm. like a medical concern, the other one's is you're a wuss almost.
Okay.
So there's kind of different psychologies between the submissions.
I'd agree with that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's a really nasty leg lock in MMA called the calf crusher, and it'll never break anything, it'll never do long term damage. But I don't think I've ever seen a person not tap out to it just because it's so painful.
Million Dollar Man hits a falling punch and gets the illegal three with the foot on the second rope, the most dangerous rope.
Indeed.
Another finish reserved for multi-man tags or tournament matches. brilliant stuff. The commentators condone that cheating is simply survival, and so it's all right.
You can both of them.
Yeah, they agree on it.
Monsoon's a fucking retard.
Is it? Do they mean?
I'll put over the concept though of the Survivor Series is that this is a dangerous pay-per-view, and it's it's all about
that's
survival.
A heel frame of mind though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
If you're a babyface, you never cheat to win.
It's like
if someone's better than you, he's better than you. You'll beat them next time. But if you're a heel, it's, you know, cheating is okay once you've previously tried and failed.
I'd have to agree with Steve.
Fine.
Hate you.
Hate that cunt.
Hulk Hogan and DiBiase hit a double clothesline and are both down for ages. I absolutely marked that.
Monsoon is like, double jeopardy! Double Jeopardy is not being tried for the same crime.
Or it's getting double points for getting a question right in normal Jeopardy.
And this was neither of those.
Hogan no-sells a back body drop. And we got the big boot, we got the big leg, and he gets the three. And Hulk Hogan, the sole survivor, the winner. Ventura just complains for as long as Hogan celebrates, which is over 3 minutes long.
Oh my goodness.
So he'll only win by eliminating every member of his opposition by himself.
He was the reason that they got disqualified.
Like, the rest of his team didn't need to show up. He would have
He is a real American.
Why didn't Zeus cost Hogan the win? Or why didn't Zeus win to promote December 27th,
I have no idea.
Yep, that would have made sense.
100%, that's what I'd have done if I was booking this, at least have them wrestle to the back, double count out, 3 seconds. He doesn't have to fucking win.
Yeah, and well, coming into the next match, we're going to see something just like that, Steve.
Oh,
fuck you, Hogan as well.
Just because.
Yeah. I hate your guts, man. After what you did at WrestleMania 9.
Spoiler!
I swear it hasn't happened yet. You obviously can't hate him yet.
Spoiler!
Can't believe what he did to Mantor. Hang and bang on your own time,
mate. Macho King Randy Savage, after the victory tonight, your thoughts must be on Wednesday night, December 27th, the movie No Holds Barred, then the match. You'll meet Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake inside a steel cage team with the human wrecking machine Zeus, a man you've had control problems with.
Control problems? I'm not worried about control problems. What they did to Zeus in that squared circle a little while ago, man, I love it, because in that big steel cage, 15 foot high around the ring, there are no holds barred. So the fact that I can't control the human wrecking machine, I love it, Zeus has been chosen by the scepter, to get rid of Hulk Hogan and Hulkamania. The end of the road, big 15 foot high steel cage, no holds barred, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake, you're guilty by association. So you must fall also, I'm talking, this is it. This is the end of the road, Hulk Hogan. This is the time that you don't escape. We got you there. That's all that matters. And we'll take you to the bank. We're not going to quit until this man gets rid of Hulk Hogan, Do you understand that, Hulk Hogan? Say goodbye to all the Hulkamaniacs, Chosen by the scepter, Zeus.
Let's go to Mean Gene Okerlund.
All right, so backstage we got Sean Mooney and the Macho Man and Zeus and Sherry, and they get over December 27th.
Either way,
they're here. Where's your apostrophe? It's my ear. They get over no holds barred. Now, getting a look at him, you can see his Zed tattoo there. It's kind of worn off a bit, sweated off, and as well with his unibrow. So you can see it's separated from his normal.
Oh, right. Okay, cool.
And then we cut to Hogan with Gene and Beefcake, and they hawk 12:27. The moving cage match. He calls it, we got a steel-tempered cage and steel-tempered clippers. And then Sherry interrupts and throws like pixie dust. Now this is a cartoon era we are in, and they Pearl Harbor the faces, and Yeah, and all the faces in the locker room break it up.
So and Dino Bravo.
Dino Bravo.
He's out with the face. The Jobber Brigade come out and break it up. Dino's there, yeah. Yeah. I know, for whatever reason, he just kind of got caught up in the crowd or something.
Coming out. He's not like promote anarchy and yeah. Pearl Harboring them, you know?
Yeah, generally Pearl Harboring them. Yeah. You're going for a Pearl Harbor record in this podcast.
Listen to the yo's. Ventura goes out the back door and there's nobody home. So, yeah, Ventura gets over that there is dissension in the Heenan family, dissension that only existed a couple of days ago when Tully Blanchard failed his smell-less test. But this is booking on the fly now to say, yes, it was great.
It worked, didn't it? It really did work.
Okay, so there's dissension and that's all we know so far. Mm-hmm. A Coliseum home video exclusive backstage promo with the Rude Brood. Yet this is an awesome promo. I'll just play it.
With a Coliseum video exclusive, I'm joined here by the Rude Brood as we wait for this collision between the Rude Brood and Roddy's Rowdies. And Captain Ravishing Rick Rude, it is no secret you have had your problems with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, problems are in the past, Mooney. You have to forgive me for looking a little bit overconfident. But you see, it's like this. I can't go wrong. I've got Fabulous and the Rougeau Brothers. I've got my Simply Ravishing Self. And I've got the man with the perfect record. Mr. Perfect.
Well, thank you very much, Captain. And tonight will be no different than any other night in my life. It too will be a perfect night as we stand victorious as one in the middle of the ring. And as for you, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, the most unpredictable man in the World Wrestling Federation, everybody talks about your savageness. Let me tell you something plain and simple. You better take a good look at Mr. Perfect, because I have a way to eliminate you the perfect way. And as for the Bushwhackers, well...
Yay! Yay!
Let me tell you something, baby. Tricky Ricky is ready. Mr. Perfect is going to be perfect. The Genius is smarter than ever. And Bushwhackers, the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers are ready, Daddy.
That's right. You know, we've been training 4 hours a day. We've been taking all our vitamins. And we've been going to bed at 8 o'clock at night. So we're ready.
Hey, Mooney, what do you think of when you think of Piper? I think of a dog I saw on TV. And how about Snuka? Doesn't it remind you of a chocolate bar, a Snuka bar? And you know what? What about you, Bushwhackers? Well, let's keep it. We got a gift for you since it's the holidays.
Well, this is certainly going to be one of the more...
Mooney. The tights on my behind are telling the tale. Which team will perish and which will prevail?
Yeah. On that note, let's go to Mean Gene Okerlund.
All right, from Roots Bruins, they say they have problems. You can hear them coming now. Roddy's, Roddy's,
come on. Roddy, Roddy, we are ready for bear. Come on. I can't stop them from eating. Hold a second. Whoa, you can't. How many times have I told you? You can't have lunch till after the. You are being sneaky again. After the match, you can have lunch. You see? Well, that's okay. After you see what we got is we got bone breakers here. We got people rude up there smiling and laughing and having a great time. Perfect. Easy boys. Don't eat nothing. Oh! Them bones, big bones, we're bold, we don't do what we're told. Out of your mouth, who's that?
All right, some loose cannons here in the form of Roddy's Rowdies. Let's go back to the arena.
The Rougeaus say they've been training and in bed by 8 p.m. They're the fucking business. Rick Rude. Oh, we get a good look at his jocks, and it's awesome. What's on his jocks, Steve?
On the front, he's got his team, the Brood.
The Rude.
And then on the back, he's got, what is it, the Roddy's Rowdies.
Roddy's Rowdies.
Yeah.
With, you've got like a picture of Piper and a tombstone, and it's wonderful. It's my favourite jocks of Rick Rude so far.
100% agreed with you, Steve. They were awesome.
Then we cut to the interview... and butt of the night, it's the Bushwhackers and Snuka. They fight over fries.
Straight
chicken.
Out of the fucking Jolly Gods. Only people from one city will get that one.
It's the Bushwhackers and Jimmy Snuka, and they fight over fried chicken, bones. Do you like the 80s casual racism?
Did you know that Bushwhackers is the only name in wrestling history to be both a sexual innuendo and a terrorist threat?
What? Explain both, please.
Well, one, you're plowing Bush.
Oh!
And the other, you're assassinating Bush.
Oh! Yeah.
Did you like that?
Yes.
What about, like, the Pearl Harbor or something?
He said it again!
Because it's a sneak attack, and I'm sure it's like a Cleveland steamer. Alright, so it's the Rude Brood. It's Mr. Perfect with the genius.
And as he's walking out, Gorilla has probably the line of the night, and he goes, "Hey, Jesse, I wouldn't like him to walk behind me." And then Jesse goes, "What do you mean by that?" And just sighed.
Yeah, October 7th, Superstars, the genius came out and he announced his new protege, Mr. Perfect. And Perfect came out debuting his awesome song.
Perfect does not need a manager.
Yep.
Yep.
It doesn't hurt.
It does.
Like, they're both great. Maybe it's like 1989 and he's sick of saying the word perfect, so let's bring in another guy, you know?
Yeah.
The Rude Brood, it's Mr. Perfect with the genius. The Fabulous Rougeaus with Jimmy Hart and Rick Rude without the brain. Aha, this is a storyline.
Dissension. Smell this.
So it's the Rude Brood versus Roddy's Rowdies?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. That's not going to be easy.
Yes. So we got super, super fucking woman killer. Supervised.
Oh, fuck.
I think we all know you're going to keep in this tape. So,
so Roddy's Rowdies. We got Jimmy Superfly Snuka, the Bushwhackers, and Rowdy Roddy Peeper. Yeah. In the battle of the awesome gimmicks. So this is the first match back from Rowdy Roddy Piper since he jobbed out Adrian Adonis at WrestleMania 3.
Face is having a little tard session in the fucking corner. They just go in the corner and act like fucking retards for 5 seconds. And I'm like, did you not see it?
What do you
mean? I can't remember.
And it's just whacking on. The people will see what I mean. They just look like idiots.
It starts off with that, and then it continues with Perfect getting bitten by Butch, and then by Piper. And then by Snuka in the arm. And of course, Luke makes it the 4-time trifecta by biting his arse.
And then the match is over. 40 seconds. Heels win.
What?
If they go by the fucking rules.
Oh, yes. Cheeky.
I was absolutely disgusted by this opening in work. I was so angry that I had to like turn it off and go out for a walk. He just got bitten 4 times by each man.
At the bell
DQ,
run.
DQ, DQ, yes.
Have you seen the advertisement for Extreme Rules?
No.
It's like, the rules of wrestling. Number one, no hand biting. Number two, this is the...
Really?
Yeah.
You got to put that, splice that in.
Hopefully it shows when no biting. And can you highlight that for us?
Yes, please.
All right, so the first fall... bullshit fall now is an awesome comedy selling by Jacques. He has an amazing sell of a chop. He's like, yow! And he gets hit with Snuka Splash, who gets 3. Alright, and then Raymond gets caught telegraphing a back body drop, and Piper hits a very safe pile driver and gets 3, as well as punching Perfect. It was great. He was like in the heel corner and he was like, fuck off. Preemptively. Yeah, so the heels are quite backtracking it. They're down 4-2. Yeah, the Bushwhackers, very suitable offense. You know, they do the headbutt, biting, choke chops, wind up punches. You know, like a proper savage, you know. Butch celebrates too long after biting Perfect's arse, and he gets rolled up and eliminated.
Did you see Piper had this interesting kind of, he looked like he was going to do a pile driver, and then, so I think it was maybe Ray, he had Ray's head between his legs, looked like he was going for a pile driver, then did some kind of weird spinny thing, so he cranks the neck. Did you see that?
Are you quite against that then, I'd assume?
No, because it's not, I wouldn't say it's fatal, it's just a bit of a In my neck.
it's mildly inconvenient.
Exactly. Ouch, though. Yeah.
Similarly, Luke bites Rude's face. And, it gets reversed into a Rude Awakening. So it's down to 2-2.
This clearly proves my point before this match. That he sees his tag team partner bite someone, celebrate, and lose. And then this fucking idiot goes in and does the same thing. Like, why don't you go back to the corner and have your third session? Jesus Christ.
Snuka bumps Perfect off a 2. And perfectly onto the ref.
Yeah.
I thought that looked like a work.
It's just when they actually get out of it immediately and stand up, Perfect goes rah 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 to him. So it's like, all right,
whoops.
It looked great though.
I actually thought that from like this point on, for like the next 5 minutes or so, that the match got really boring just because I was sick of seeing Snuka wrestle Perfect in this match. They didn't have a feud going into this match. It was all about Rude and Roddy Piper. Mm-hmm. And do you know if Rude was hurt or anything going into this match? Because he did fuck all for like 25 minutes of the match.
No, he's fine.
I just thought the booking was a bit gig. Although, Perfect did have a really good match, so you know what I mean? Like, overall, but I just got bored of seeing the same spots over and over and over again.
Yeah, it was really odd. It was only at the end where we got Rude versus Piper at the end, so. Typical 80s bullshit, no finish, brawl to the back, get counted out.
Yep. In about 4 seconds.
Yeah, I have
this,
3.
This was a quick one. Although not as quick as the one in the next match.
We'll get to that.
You
know what the best part of brawling to the back, counted out, nearly early job is? That's the finish of the feud.
Are you serious?
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit.
Is it just because, you know, we've been watching wrestling for how many years, but...
How long have you been watching wrestling?
What is it now? It's getting up to about 28 years, Jay, is it?
I've been watching wrestling 28 years and a day.
That as soon as Rude and Piper kind of went outside the ring, you knew immediately double count out. Ventura even called it. Probably after a wrestling fan would have seen it himself,
Once the ref at this rate hits 4... Yeah. Even if you're rushing to get back, you've no chance. Like 4 foot in and out.
So the finish of this match, lots of near falls, lovely double spots. There's one exchange where Perfect ends up, he's got his dick in Snuka's face. He goes, flops on top. Now, straight away, that's... dick to the face, then Perfect hits the Perfect Plex and wins as the sole survivor. Oh, and then Snuka tries to get his heat back. He gets it on the Genius, but Perfect pulls him out and they hightail it. So no heat for you, Snuka.
After the match, Monsoon and Jesse both berate Snuka for being a bad sportsman. Because he attacked people after he lost.
He did. Didn't he do a lovely splash, though?
Perfect Plex was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It really was. And like the last minute was just tremendous. Mm-hmm. Overall, this to me is definitely the best match of the night so far. Even though I felt it was a bit long and I did get a bit sick of seeing the same two men. But just overall, and the ending was really tremendous.
Cool. All right. So we get an immediate post-match promo with the winners. The Rude Brood. A bastard Mooney. He only listens to Rude. And when Perfect's time to talk, I will call. In front of me, Jane. In front of me. Fuck you.
What a cult.
In fairness to Perfect, he keeps going because if he shut up, he'd look like a chump. So he kind of just keeps shouting in the background. I'll give him that.
This interview is a Coliseum video exclusive. In the Survivor Series, the Heenan family will be meeting these four men. They are the Ultimate Warriors. That includes powerhouse Jim the Anvil Neidhart,
Bobby Heenan, Brainbusters, Haku, Andre the Giant. I hope we don't ruin your party. I hope we don't eat too much of your cake and ice cream.
All right, out of the rockers that includes Marty Jannetty.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of rock and roll. A whole lot of strutting and strolling, taking care of business as we are fired up and we are ready. I tell you what, the Ultimate Warriors are ready to rock and the Heenan family get ready to roll because the Ultimate Warriors are coming with both guns loaded and they're going to take the Heenan family downtown.
Captain, the Ultimate Warriors.
These men have stretched their limits. These men have taken steps.
in parts unknown. These men, holy Hogan, don't accuse with the power. You, the Heenan family, have not fully united. I have taken these men into the deepest, darkest parts where only pain and creatures of bad habit live. They know that we shall prevail as the ultimate warrior.
Backstage, Gene is with the Warrior, the Anvil, and the Rockers in an amazing promo. So much drugs taken in the Oh my god. Other people try to cut promos, and Warrior is like a child, a two-year-old child, who is like, the camera needs to be on me the entire time. So if you're focusing on Anvil, I'm just going to walk over there.
Okay, right. Here is my impression of what Warrior was doing. You just read something there.
All right, Snooker was perfect.
Jay.
Perfectly.
Jay. And that is what he did.
I don't know how many takes this must have taken, but like, Anvil's trying to cut his promo, and Warrior starts wiggling his glasses, then he's not paying attention, so it goes away, comes back and like pulls on his beard, and then finishes his promo with holding the tag teammates' heads in while flexing his biceps. It was just phenomenal.
It was amazing. It really was.
I can confidently say that we do not have promos like this anymore.
No. Take one look at Marty Jannetty in the background and just, I know why Shawn Michaels turned out better than you. Anvil is cutting his promo and he's just kind of looking around, smiling, you know. He just looks like he's done a big vat of acid or something.
Perhaps he colors, had. Like.
That could have been my face in Warrior's place. Okay. So it's time for our main event. So we got the no themes and the no entrances.
And the no crowd reaction.
I.e. the jobbers. It's the Heenan family. Andre the Giant. Your boy, Arn Anderson. Your other boy, not quite king anymore. And no Tully, it's Bobby the Brain Heenan. Versus the Ultimate Warriors, it's Jim the Anvil Neidhart. The Rockers. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. And the Intercontinental Champion of this world, the Ultimate Warrior. Who didn't have a theme for some reason. Now, the commentators play up that, why is Heenan wrestling? He's not supposed to be wrestling. It's dissension. This is the storyline to explain Tully's absence. A couple of weeks beforehand, they knew that Arn Anderson and Tully were going back to the NWA. Their year contract is up.
Okay.
And so they were already, the breakup angle was already going.
And why didn't they offer them a new contract?
I think they want to go back to the NWA.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, you're doing Demolition, you're getting the Road Warriors, and fuck it, you know. But I think they're happier being with the Four Horsemen instead.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so both of them were scheduled to go back to the NWA, except, when the WWE said, he was positive for coke, they NWA didn't hire him back, and he was fucked. Like, he just ended up...
And is that pretty much the end of his whole career?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not fucking my diet.
It was like the quickest that opinion in history. This is the only time I've ever seen in the history of wrestling that a wrestler is gassed before the bell. Andre batters Rockers and Anvil before Warrior can make it down to the ring. And by the time he arrives in the ring and is ready to rock, it's too late. Andre's fucked. I'm sorry. So Warrior clotheslines him over the ropes where he falls and gets
counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Although your count wasn't quite quick enough. This was fucking quick.
And so Andre does the where am I spot, you know, and Gorilla says, oh, it looks like Andre doesn't want to leave. I think you'll find he does.
Yeah, holy shit. He is barely mobile. He's basically being used as a marquee, in a marquee capacity only. Andre slowly leaves, and he kind of has to pass by the faces, and they all give him a quick kick. That's amazing. And he just screams at them in French. Or like a whale, a French whale.
What would the French whale sound like?
It's a French donkey.
Well, what's a French whale sound like? That's homosexual. Do you want to run down this?
Yeah, sure. Anvil and Iron have a good little spot where both run the ropes and the shoulder block, and then obviously Iron, you know, takes the bump on the second or third go, and just however he takes his bumps, it looks great. It's quite like Flair's, you know, the way like Flair kind of falls on his side, rather than taking like a flat back bump. He kind of looked like he actually was kind of fucked aside, and it just looked really good. Just the little things. Haku was tagged in, and himself and Anvil trade blows for about 800 years. Then he hits a lovely super kick to Anvil and pins him to even things up, 3-3. Super kicked him in the back of the head. That could have been really nasty. Mm. Rockers come in and get their shine on Haku, and lots of quick tags and double teaming, and just really, really good stuff. And then there was a really awesome spot between Aaron and Haku. They tried to do a double suplex on Marty, but then Sean comes in and catches him. He lifts him down safely, and then the heels turn around and get stereo super kicks to the face. Bah! That was a really great spot.
Nice spot.
Yeah.
So then out inside, Heenan keeps on telling his team not to tag him in, which is great, and got a lot of heat off the fans.
Brilliant.
So then, here for me was when the match hit a real lull. Just loads of headlocks between them, and kind of sucked. Then Heenan finally tags in when Marty is down, and he hits like one or two kicks and pins him, and then the heels go ahead. Fucking amazing heat. Fans hated this man at this point.
Oh, I marked out so hard.
It was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, he tags out immediately afterwards. It's like, oh, this guy, he gets it.
He gets wrestling.
He is pro wrestling.
Yeah.
I love Warrior's reaction after that. So Marty gets pinned, and Warrior just comes in and just kind of rolls him out of the ring. You know, go ahead, this is my show. This is not your show. Fantastic. And then later on, Sean is thrown out of the ring, and Warrior gets out and just fucks him back into the ring. Like...
I thought Warrior was going to be out and be really nice and dust him down and tag himself in. No, he fucks him back in. What a horrible captain. Like.
For most of the match, when he's not in the ring, he's just pacing up and down the apron. But somebody's thrown into the ropes at one point, and Warrior, they just miss Warrior. He's just walking up and down. It's like, that could be so fucking embarrassing. He gets hit, falls off the apron.
Breaks his wrist like Lillian. Like.
Witch.
She's Spanish.
that was a witch, not a horse. It's a horse. There we go. Cute horse. My God. Alright, Warrior launches HBK into Iron, and Monchin shouts, "What a maneuver!" he tries it on Haku, and success! It works, and we're down to 2-on-2. So it's Warrior and Sean versus Heenan and Iron. And Heenan considers splashing HBK to the outside, and he thinks better of it.
Great. It was amazing.
And then Arn Anderson does his amazing sunset flip selling.
Now, at this point, he must realise it doesn't work.
It's not about working. It's instinct. It's reflex. It's real.
So there is a fine reversal exchange with HBK and Arn, who hits a beautiful spinebuster on HBK and gets the 3. Warrior's the only guy left for the faces. All throughout this match, Monsoon was saying that Heenan doesn't count. He's like, as if he was already eliminated. And Ventura was coming back. Look, he got a pin, and like, he's still going. He lasted longer than the rest of these clowns. So yeah. So it's Warrior by himself versus Arn Anderson and Bobby Heenan. Now, at this point, Aaron and Warrior on the outside. What, shouldn't Aaron just like hold the Warrior and they'll get double count out really quick?
That's
and
far too clever.
That is
1, 2. Come on.
It now, it that makes perfect sense. But in I don't know if I would have thought about it. Would you have thought about that?
I'd probably have to say no. That's far too devious for me.
Yeah, that's Jay Hunter devious.
So the Warrior reverses Aaron into Bobby Heenan and hits the Gorilla Bot Slam and the Big Splash and gets the three. It's down to Warrior and Heenan and awesome. This is wrestling. Yes. Heenan does the 2 turnbuckle spots and then a shoulder tackle and splash. And yeah, he like runs away. He tries to get to the back and it's like, this is your comeuppance for being a dastardly heel.
And it's just, it's this point in the night that the ref decides to count normally. Like, to actually give Heenan time to run up the ring, Warrior chase him, get him, bring him back and throw him in.
Yeah, so we get the shoulder tackle, the splash, and Warrior gets the pin and is the sole survivor and is the winner of the main event of Survivor Series 89. So, an amazing bit. He celebrates in the ring, and then he runs to the back and bowls over Heenan.
It's fucking great. It's fucking amazing.
Warrior is awesome, isn't he? He's just like, he's so different to everyone before and after. Like, there's never been anyone even remotely close to Warrior, you know?
He's a monster, but he's a monster face with charisma.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who can only be a super duper face as well. I couldn't see him being heel because everyone's immediately in love with him.
It was so refreshing to not have to watch Hogan celebrating for 3 to 5 minutes. Warrior, gone. Mm. Fantastic.
Like, I was watching some of this at home and my nephew came in and he's like 2.5. And, you know, he likes wrestling. You know, he likes John Cena and Kane and Big Show and stuff like that. And he was sitting there
on a mark.
And he was sitting down next to me, you know, and he, you know, he's like, you know, Andre came out and he was like, whoa. Well, then Warrior came out and he just got up and started running around the room. Just hitting things. And I was like, that's how awesome this guy is. You know what I mean? This kid has never seen or heard him before and he's already marking out to him.
Yeah, great.
So Warrior's theme plays as Nitro Steals from the pay-per-view. Play us out. I haven't done this segment since last time, actually. But in general, we kind of dropped it for a bit. But final thoughts on the pay-per-view, Steve? What do you think?
I thought it was pretty good. Not as good as SummerSlam, because I really enjoyed SummerSlam. I was in two minds about how they had split up Macho Man and Hogan and Warrior, you know, all over the place, but it kind of works. You know, it kept my attention throughout. I mean, you could have had, you know, big match, couple of jobber matches, huge match with Hogan and Macho and Zeus and whatever else, but I was happy enough with how they paced the pay-per-view. The problem was that, of course, you're going to have longer matches because you're not going to have any singles matches, and that was an issue. But I didn't feel it going on that long. Great to see Warrior getting the rub, and now I can understand why he's getting the rub, because of what's going to happen next. No spoilers.
No spoilers. There's like, you wouldn't want a rub from Luke now, wouldn't you? Oh. A little package check. Excellent, Steve.
A lot of what Steve said, I pretty much think is spot on.
And I thought it was great. Sorry, Steve.
No, you're grand.
What did you think?
I thought the opener was pretty bad. Rest of the card was, pretty damn good, you know. There were some great spots thrown in. Awesome to see Hogan not main event. Warrior being elevated, great choice. The booking of Andre to get him out of the match, right choice. And you see the kind of evolution of Rick Martel and Mr. Perfect. So, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this show. Like you said, not as good as SummerSlam. But other than that, it's one of the better ones that we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just got a couple of thoughts I'd like to throw out there. See what you think. 380,000 buys. Great. 15,294 in attendance. And 5 matches on the card at a runtime of 2 hours, 40 minutes. which means 32 minutes per match average.
Oh, yeah.
Half an hour. Oh, what's going on? So you're not going to see the win until half an hour hits.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are multi-man tag matches. There's only two storylines you can tell here. Either it goes down to the wire, where it goes down to one-on-one, or it's like the lopsided 3-on-1, 4-on-1.
Yeah.
And that's about it. You know, so it just in terms of drama, it's quite difficult to keep it fresh, I guess. This is the first Survivor Series where they had team names, and team names are fucking awesome.
Yeah. And
it's not hard. It's not hard either.
The choice to lower it from teams of five to four, I thought was brilliant. You know yourself, like how many times we moaned about too many people, just, you know, spot, there's no story. Just that choice to lower each team by one made a really big difference.
Mm. It's also readily apparent that the singles wrestlers trump tag wrestlers, even in these tag team environment matches.
Mm.
So, like, anyone that's around the IC belt, they'll always clobber the tag teams, you know. No tag team members survived the Survivor Series this year. And you can't count Canadian Earthquake or Bravo because they're not a tag team yet.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Yeah, these guys are tag specialists. They should be battering the singles wrestlers.
Yeah.
I have to say, come on, 80s. Even with essentially nothing on the line, some wrestlers still don't do the job. This pay-per-view ripe with count dates. Yeah. Baddies Brown, Duggan, Andre, Rude,
yeah.
Piper. Come on, Hogan, you cunt. Why don't you lose, you know? But, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a building tool to the big shows, you know?
Like, no one remembers getting elimination. Because you have 30 eliminations in the match, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So why can't Duggan do a job, like, you know? I have to say, like, it doesn't matter about the wrestling, because great characters trump all, and, like, this pay-per-view had pretty much all of the names of the 80s in it.
It was great.
Is this the peak? We're going into the 90s, but as far as the 80s, it finished on a great note.
Absolutely. Then again, we don't know what Starrcade 89 was like.
Well, I only had the two horsemen, so...
Awesome!
Hey, dickface, you seen my dog?
Have you tried the lobby?
Thank you.
Fuck. Come on, King. This.
This is done with the WWF before the Royal Rumble, so this is the last kind of big pay-per-view we'll see him in. But it's not our last pay-per-view of 1989, because he will return next time. Next week, maybe, who knows? No, it's not next week. At least a bit off. So he will return next time on OSW Review in WWF's final pay-per-view of the 80s. It's no holds barred. Yeah, so we'll get the movie and a steel cage match between Hogan and Beaver versus Macho and Zeus.
What's in this movie is portrayed as real.
But why are the trailers of Hulk Hogan jumping on cars and shit? That's not.
Because he can do that shit. He is Bionic Commando. He is. Isn't he, Jack? Yeah, thanks.
Hey, don't be ganging up on me about Hulk Hogan.
We're ganging and banging. Fucking right, lads. Okay, so from myself, AJ Hunter, this is Ozzy.
Me.
And V1.
Rapper.
You stay classy, trolls.
Just cunts.